day, just take a moment to stand and just stretch your hands overhead and just kind of bring your body online aside from your brain. Your body has all kinds of information, insights, intuition, all kinds of things that want to come and play. And as much content and information as there are on these calls, there is a specific thing or a number of things that can really spark you, and that is our intention in the Conscious Business Telesummit, is to spark you into action. Even though it seems like there's loads of content and information, there is something on each call, if you're here, that you're drawn to be on this call. And so just from this call alone, you will get information. Of course, there will be even more opportunities for you to play with Bob, and we'll speak about that at the end of the call. So just take a moment, take a nice deep breath, and exhale, and just bring yourself into right now. And so unless you're on the webcast and you're not doing anything else, move into a space where you can be fully on the call, engaged, and listening for what sparks you, for what's going to move you into more. So thank you very much, everyone, for being here. I get very excited about the folks that I bring to the Conscious Business Telesummit, and that is because I know them. I'm on their mailing lists. I've participated in their programs. And Bob the Teacher Jenkins is one of these amazing, amazing people who is doing the kind of business that we've been talking about for almost 6 months now. And our topic today is your info product telefactory. And Bob really knows about this because he is a prolific product creator. And he's got an extraordinary skill set in terms of technical expertise, in terms of internet marketing expertise, and his style is very connective, very down-to-earth, not what you'd even imagine a stereotypical internet marketer. Bob is a former high school teacher who created a six-figure internet marketing business in less than 2 years, starting from scratch. So, woo-ha. That is extraordinary. And using his telefactory model gives you faster results, gives you more confidence, and you've got more free time to enjoy the rewards of your business. And you've got an opportunity to make the kind of difference and create meaningful products. And Bob is certainly the person that can guide you along the way here. Thank you, Bob, for being here with us.
Thank you, Adela. It is my pleasure and true privilege to be here. And your Conscious Business Telesummit is an extraordinary group of people, and you should be commended for bringing us together and helping your audience grow.
Thank you. It is exciting to have such an array of folks who are masterful in their areas of expertise, and I know that you straddle quite a number of areas of expertise, Bob. And I wanted you to speak a little bit to this because I know that this is one of the issues that heart-centered people have, is this whole idea, this stereotype of an internet marketer, that it's impersonal, that it's push, that it's all about numbers, and all that kind of stuff. So in your own words, how can folks that are heart-centered adapt internet marketing to their businesses?
Well, I think that most heart practitioner types of folks usually start out their business in a local setting. And the downfall of that you run into over time is that there's just only so many people that you touch in person in your geographic location that, you really limit yourself. And when you use internet marketing strategies in the way that is still true to you, still authentic, you can reach those people whose only limitation in your mind really is that they are in a different location. So by using the internet, you're able to reach far and wide, people across the globe, let alone across the state or across the country that you live in. And you'll often find even that you'll get connected to people who are only a few miles down the road but have never crossed paths with you locally. So just think about all those people that need what you have to offer, who can spend a little bit of time with you either in text form online or through a teleseminar like we're doing right now, and how much impact you can have because you open yourself up to that realistic possibility of reaching just that one more person who otherwise would never know that you exist and would never be able to be introduced to what you offer. You don't have to be slimy. You don't have to be pushy. You don't have to tell people that they have to act within the next 5 minutes or it's gone forever. you know, those tactics people read through. And as an authentic heart-based person, you know that you're not going to feel good selling that way, and you don't have to. You know, I'm a testament to the success that you can have being honest, being authentic, being someone who just puts out good stuff and truly wants to help people. But the other side of it is you have to be willing to put yourself out there. You have to be willing to say to the world that you have something good for them to take advantage of, and that you are willing to charge for it so that you can operate a business, not just you know, be a nice person and help a few people along the way. So I really want to encourage people to listen with an open mind today to the answers I give to Adela's questions and to your questions, hopefully, that you ask, because truly using internet marketing in the way that you feel good about it is going to impact your world, your family, and those that you touch.
So how is it that you make it, you know, you might think that an info product, an information product, feels a little impersonal. How do you make it personal and connective, and how do you come across authentically in your products?
Well, one of the things and one of the chief methods to come across authentic is to use your voice. You know, this is why I'm such a big fan of teleseminars like we're doing right now, because you can't hide behind text. You can't hide behind some random piece of information that's off in the distance. You're hearing my voice right now. You're hearing Adela's voice. And because of that, you get a better psychological connection to me. And then when you ask a question, hopefully during this call, you know, we get to hear your voice as well. So that's the first point about that. The second is you always have to address your audience one person at a time. Whether you're writing an ebook, a regular physical product, you know, like a book or a home study course, or you're doing a teleseminar, you have to remember that even though you want your work to be listened to be absorbed, learned from by hopefully thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, each thing that you produce is listened to or read one person at a time. So if you can remember that, then the way that you address your audience in all formats is directly one-to-one, even though many people are on board, even though there are hundreds of people listening to this right now. You have that opportunity to just talk to that one person who's listening on the other line, and you use words like you and I and you and I, you and me, things like this, instead of you all, hey, folks, hey, everybody, thanks for being here amongst so many other people. We, you know, those types of things make people feel like they're part of a crowd. And although they want to feel like they want to belong, the more important thing is they want to feel like you're talking directly to them. So in your languaging of a teleseminar or even in an ebook or a blog post, you have to directly have your language one-to-one to that person who's on the other side.
So let's say, because we've got folks that are ranging from beginners who haven't even started their business and they're attending telesummits like this just to kind of get their feet wet and get, you know, a good grounding in what's out there. And then we've got people that already have businesses. So for folks who are new, how do they know who they're addressing, who they're speaking to?
That's an awesome question, and it really is, because it's one of those limiting questions that people hold up in front of them and say, you know, who's going to listen to me? And not only because they feel like they don't have an expertise, but they're like, how in the world am I going to get somebody on the other line, right?
Yeah.
First of all, you talk about the stuff that you can talk about on a teleseminar already in your everyday life. Somebody asks you for guidance, for recommendations, for suggestions, for help, and you typically just give answers kind of as a second nature. You know, and this is not to say that something that people come up to you randomly about turns into a profitable business, but typically the things that come easiest to you wind up being the most profitable thing for you to embrace as part of what you do for a business. So if you're just starting out and you're trying to create an online component to your business or creating a business, you know, totally from scratch, you really need to stay in touch with what are those things that you already know well enough that you take for granted, that other people in your life come to you and they just look at you with amazement that you know this stuff, that you find it so easy. You know, when I was back in the classroom, I took for granted things like turning on the PowerPoint projector, okay, and how to plug the cord in from the projector to the laptop. That seems so easy to me. When people would come up to me and ask, you know, how do you do that? I just get frustrated with this. What are you supposed to do? I always thought it was ridiculous. How could this not be easy to these other people? And that's just one quick example of the things that should radiate in your mind and say, you know, I find this really easy and other people don't, and they want to be good at it and I can help them, okay? So if you're just starting out, you know, don't try to reinvent the wheel trying to find some business opportunity that doesn't feel true to you. Try to look instead at what people are already coming to you about and see if you can turn it into a method of delivery that can be done online. And also, when you're starting out from scratch, realize that it's okay if you only have one or two people at first listening to you. It's okay for you to have just that starting point of a handful of folks. And even if you need to basically stuff the room with people who are your friends to get the experience, that's okay too. You know, I love helping people get this concept of having a training wheels experience, whether it's teleseminars or anything. And if everybody on the call happens to have your last name, that's okay, because the reality is your knowledge, your solutions that you can present to people simply need to get out. And the fastest way to do it, and I think the most authentic way to do it, is to use your voice, record it, and turn it into some really good products that can help people no matter where they happen to live in the world. So that's what I would. That's how I would address the initial new person.
Okay, cool. So you're kind of segueing already into my next question, which is wonderful. I love how that works. How do you create? So how do you create a steady income stream with your voice?
Well, this is one of those misconceptions that people have, especially when they're starting, that they're going to get on the phone, they're going to start talking for an hour, and they're going to hang up the phone, and orders are going to come in. And they're going to get, you know, $1,000, $2,000 or so in a matter of, you know, 90 minutes from the start of their call. Now, there are people that do that, and I have success that way sometimes too. But when you're first starting out, that's hardly going to be the case. So let me tell you just from my own first teleseminar that I ever did, I was able to generate about $14,000 from that call over the course of 9 months. But there was four people on the call in addition to me and my guest when that call happened. So one of the things I want to get into your mind right away is that the most important thing you can do with a teleseminar is after the call is over. So don't get worked up in a tizzy, especially in the first couple teleseminars that you do, trying to stuff the call with audience members. Because the reality is the primary benefit you're going to have to doing a teleseminar will happen after you hang up the phone, because you'll be recording the call, and if you do it and maximize this in the proper way, you really leverage your time appropriately, you're going to take that one call and do a lot of cool things to it to turn it into website traffic, to turn it into a list-building machine, to turn it into a profit generator. And even if you're not selling any product or service yourself yet, you can still generate a nice steady income from doing one or two calls per month and then maximizing what you do with those calls after they're over.
So what would be some of those things that we would do?
Okay, well, first of all, I like to recommend that people pick people to talk to on these calls that already exist in their marketplace, that already are leaders in their marketplace, and you can set yourself up as an affiliate for that person's products or services, okay? So you interview them, you basically get them on what amounts to a coaching call, but instead of you just doing it privately, you're asking them questions you really want to know the answer to, and you have other people listen in. Whether they listen in live or to a replay, it doesn't really matter. The point is you initially start with that kind of an interview where you can ask somebody who's already well-known in your field. And I want you to know that you should be doing this for two reasons. Number one, it makes it easier if you're on the side of asking questions, because you let the expert do most of the talking when you're first getting started. Okay, and their confidence, their energy level, their ability to present their information is going to carry over into making you look really, really good. Even if you're pretty new, you can kind of hand over the baton to that expert who's already been doing this kind of thing, and their expertise, their confidence will spill over to you. But the other reason you want to do it is because you want to be leveraging their credibility in the eyes of the audience onto yourself as well. So even if you know things perhaps even better than that expert you're interviewing, your audience doesn't know that. But because you can connect them to that person who has that that wider fame or notoriety than you do at this point, you're going to grow faster in that process. Once you have an interview like that finished, you can turn it into, like I mentioned before, a lead generator where you give it away for people's name and email address, or you can sell it, or you can sell the transcripts, or you know, any number of combination of things we can talk about during this call. And you can turn it into transcripts that turn into articles and blog posts and email messages and so forth. The point is when you pick that other person who's an expert and already has a product, you can start telling people, look, listen to this call, get a great education from it. But if you want to learn more, you know, a fraction of you will want to study more about that person's topic, just like some of you will want to study more with me. A lot of people will get things out of it for free, and then others will want to pursue it further. You'll share in the revenue when you do that. So my first call, I bring you back to 2006 when I was still a full-time high school teacher. I interviewed a guy who had a website management program, and I decided to interview him because he was better known, even though I had been a webmaster for a while and knew all the answers, basically, but he was better known. I asked him a few questions. Like I mentioned, there's like four or five other people on the call, and because he had that other program, I recommended people to it, and then I received 50%, one half of the revenue from those products, and then over time I did a few other things to that program so that I could generate even more revenue. This is something we'll get into a little bit later too. The point is that over the course of that 9 months period, resulted in almost $14,000 in revenue, half of which came back to me, half of which went to the other person. So just, you got to understand that just taking that one 60-minute, one 90-minute call can be transformed into various types of information products, and whether or not you give them away or you sell them can result in revenue when you connect with an expert who already does have a product.
Awesome. That's very impressive. 9 months, $14,000. That's really great. especially for someone starting out. Give everyone hope here, Bob. This is wonderful. I wanted to know, though, how do you figure out when you give away and when do you sell?
All right. So this is also one of those awesome questions. And the reality is the answer is yes to both of them. Okay, and I know you may not be as excited to hear that as wanting the clarity of just one choice, but I was taught by one of my early mentors, Pauly Sable, that it's often the case when you're presented with an either-or decision that the combination of both together is really the answer. And I want you to really grasp that, because what you have to realize is depending on what your goals are at this particular moment in time will determine whether or not you sell something or give it away. Now, I was taught a long time ago, and I want to impart this wisdom onto you as well, that the relationship that you build with people over time will be much more profitable in your business than trying to sell too early in the game. But at the same time, I also learned and have experienced that if you wait to sell people a product or service, they will have already gone to someone else because they are looking for products and services to help them in their challenges that they face and whatever challenges that you can address as the expert that you are. So I want you to really understand that you should be giving away your stuff, but you should have more than one thing to give away and therefore more than one thing that you can also sell. And even in the things that you give away, you should be making recommendations for products and services that will result in income back to you. So I mentioned this one call that I did at the beginning of my internet career, in part because it was when I was first starting out, you know, and it's not like I had a list of 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 people or whatever. I had a very small list, and I was very new on the scene, but I was still able to make this kind of success. I interviewed the gentleman for free, okay, the call we gave away for free, but we recommended a product that they take advantage of for the next step. But eventually what I wound up doing was I wound up selling the audio of my call while still giving away the transcripts. So people who wanted this information and who were happy to read it still got it for free. But if they wanted to listen to it in a more portable format, and I threw in a couple of bonuses and other things to make it valuable, then they could upgrade for $17. Okay, not a very expensive proposition, kind of an easy decision for people to make. And for people who don't want to listen to it, they didn't have to buy. They still got the information. And they still got the information for free, or they paid a little bit of money for it, but the end result was that more eyeballs saw the information that we were presenting in that call. And because I was giving it away and I was charging money for it, it generated revenue for me, which could help me out in building my next product and turning that into, you know, product number two and product number three, et cetera. So you have to start making recommendations or selling services and products of your own so that you can fuel the growth of your business. If you just give away stuff for free until you feel like you're ready to, you know, step into that professional limelight, you're going to be waiting too long. But at the same token, if you start out of the gate selling stuff without giving anything away for free, you are going to have a hard time getting the growth in as rapid of a form as you wish, unless you have a nice amount of endorsements from some other people, which can happen. But if you're starting out, you may feel like there's nobody out there really who's going to promote you or who's going to make recommendations about you yet. So you have to give something away for free, in my opinion, so that you can get that, that exposure and so that people can see, hey, this person knows what they're talking about. They can hear your voice or they can read the voice in your text and they can say, you know what, this is somebody I can really vibe with. The other side of the coin, though, I want to make sure you know of is that people who get stuff for free are not your customers, okay? They're your prospects, right? They don't fuel your business. They might tell you how wonderful you are. They might tell you how much they love the information you share with them. But until they send revenue your way, you're not running a business. And the other side of the thing that I've seen as a teacher who transformed from a classroom history teacher to a business strategy teacher, people who pay me money usually are the ones who succeed more because they are investing in themselves because they are taking advantage of that opportunity, but they're demonstrating that they value information. And because they value that information, they're willing to pay for it, they put in their mind this idea, hey, I just paid for something. I need to see a return on investment. So I need to take action on it and do something with it. Whereas the people who come to me for free, you know, initially, they don't have any real stake in what's going to happen with the information I give to them. So on your side of things, when you start to think about whether you give stuff away or you sell it, understand that you are doing people a favor by asking them to invest in you. Not because they're giving you money and you're running away and spending it on crap, but because you're giving them an opportunity to say, this is important to me, and this is a person worth listening to enough for me to give them some money, get more in return, hopefully, in the value, and then take action on it. And that's – I could spend a lot more time on this, Adela, to be honest, because it's a very big psychological question in addition to strategy.
Yeah, so, it's really, you know, big. And I did want to ask you – you mentioned earlier that you want as many eyeballs seeing it. And I realize that some of it is about, you know, getting more people to hear your message. Is there any other value in just expanding your reach as much as possible?
Yeah, and this actually answers the question again in both ways, to be honest. You want to get your reach as far and wide as possible, and you may think initially that you do that by giving things away for free because, you know, the thought is that if you give things away for free, more people are going to want to listen to it and so forth. But,
Bob, are you still there?
That's true. Yeah. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I lost you for a moment.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. I heard you, and I'm not sure who got cut off. But in any case, you were asking me about the about getting as wide of exposure as possible, right?
Yeah.
And when you give stuff away for free, you may think that you're going to get more eyeballs on it. But when you start charging for what you offer, you can adapt what I call the third level of what I have as a simple model, which we can get into later perhaps, or save it for another day. But the third level of simple is that you have your own affiliate program. And as soon as you charge money for something, you can have other people promote your products and be incentivized to do so in return for a commission as part of a sale. So even if you sell something for $10 and you can give $5 away to an affiliate or even all $10, you're going to have other people's help in spreading your message for you. So yes, you should give things away for free to get exposure, but you can attract people to promote for you a little bit easier when you charge and then share the profit with those other affiliates. So understand that exposure is important, but you don't get exposure only from giving things away for free. You also get exposure by having partners who are going to spread the word in an incentive-based fashion.
Yeah, and that's a quick way to really catapult your business to a totally new level. Thank you for that tip, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
So besides interviewing an expert in your niche, are there any other strategies that you use to so that your customers view you as an expert?
Oh, sure. That's definitely not the best way. It's just the best way to do it when you're starting out, because
mm-hmm.
you really leverage the credibility and the authenticity, the expertise of that person, and you basically can shirk some of the duties and responsibility of the information over to them while you're getting comfortable with the technology and the format and so forth. But in general, I teach about 12 core types of teleseminars that you would want to embark on. And the two that come to mind that can really showcase your expertise are also very easy to do, and they are where you do a frequently asked questions call, and the other alternative is to do a Q&A call. And they're very similar, except that a Q&A call is where you have people submit questions to you, just like we're hoping that, you know, people listening to this call right now will submit some questions in for us for the end of this session. And an FAQ call is basically a call where you predict what those questions would be and you simply answer them. So if you're already an expert in your field, or at least a leading authority in your world, whether that world is your zip code or your state or your country or whatever, you can just pick up the phone, dial into a bridge line like we're talking on right now, and answer the four or five or six questions that you often hear by people who would come to you in hopes of doing business with you. And that tells people, that FAQ call tells people, that you have those core fundamental questions already answered. The beauty of that type of a call shows your voice. It shows that you have a command of your industry, that you understand and can relate to the challenges that your audience face. And that's really powerful. But because you can record it and put it up on your website, it also means that when people ask you those questions, you can give them a quick answer and then refer them to your website to do a more thorough job of answering it completely. So if you're the kind of person that might field those questions over and over and over again, week after week, through email or through telephone calls or through, you know, rubber chicken lunches that you find in your community, instead of spending that time doing that, you can actually point people to that existing audio program that's on your website, and the time you can spend will be more profitable if you're working with folks who have already listened to those core questions and now they come to you ready to do business. So from a productivity standpoint, from a relationship standpoint with your audience, you get a much stronger connection, much quicker connection, and you show people that you know what you're doing, and you can give them a solution that they can absorb in a different format by having an FAQ call ready for them to listen to on the web. The Q&A call basically operates the same way, except this is when you have a little bit bigger of an audience, and you simply say, look, you know, I know what I'm talking about in this area. You probably have questions about this area. I'm going to answer those questions in a quick Q&A call, and this is the time and place. Submit your question here, and I will answer the questions for you. So out of the 12 different formats that I like to teach about for people, whether they're starting out or they're experts, the FAQ call and the Q&A calls both demonstrate you as an expert, and it addresses those questions that the audience members want to have answers to, And so you're directly solving things that they want to know. And that's very powerful because it means not only do you know the stuff, but you're addressing the questions and challenges that your audiences are facing.
Yeah, absolutely. Great way to leverage their time, boost their expertise, and also their own sense of confidence of how much they know, especially if they're starting out.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, if you are one of those people that goes to local meetings often or you go to trade shows and so forth, take one of these calls and put it onto an audio CD and hand that out instead of a business card and see how differently you're treated because you have a product that you can put into their hands.
Wonderful. So what are some of the mistakes that you see with folks who are trying to create products from their teleseminars, Bob?
That's another good question. A couple things. One is they're trying to be too perfect. You know, you're going to have a call that's going to have some ums and ahs in it. We had a blip a few minutes ago, right? I couldn't hear you or you couldn't hear me or whatever. Well, I hope that you don't spend the time to go back and cut that out.
Because, heck no.
it was like 10 seconds, you know, and somebody on a call, when they do a call, they're going to go through that process. And you're laughing about this, Adela, because you've done 100,000 calls at this point, and you know that's just ridiculous. But the person starting out, they're going to think, oh, my God, they're going to think I'm so unprofessional. They're going to think I don't know what I'm doing. And the reality is people understand technology has glitches. And if you let something like a 10-second blip in your call prevent you from releasing that call because you don't know how to edit the call, you don't have the money to pay someone to do it or whatever, then your call is just going to sit on the shelf, and it's not going to have the impact that you're really after. Because you're a person pursuing a conscious business where you're trying to help people and you're trying to be a problem solver, you have to realize that the folks on the other side need your help. And if you take too long because you're a perfectionist, because you want to make sure things are absolutely 100% perfect, you're preventing your solution from reaching your audience, which is negatively impacting them. So one of the biggest mistakes I see is this sense of a desire for perfection when such a thing doesn't exist, especially in the world of teleseminars. But because you're using your voice, because you're interacting with people, you know, people, you know, roll with it, and that's perfectly okay. The other thing is, let's say that you forget to something goes wrong technically with the call or whatever, or people can't get on the call, something happens, but you're still able to get the recording. And let's say the recording has a big crackling noise in it or, you know, humming sound. Turn your audio into a text-based product instead and still use it. Maybe you have an hour-long call and 20 minutes of it, you go off on some tangent and it doesn't really make any sense. And you're like, wow, that sucks. I don't really like that call. I'm not going to do anything with it. Well, take the first 30 minutes that were really good and turn that into its own product, you know? So that's another point, is you're not really after a 100% perfect thing, but also you can take pieces of a crappy call and turn it into a good product or at least good content that can attract people to you. So being a perfectionist, not utilizing a product in pieces if not in full, those are a couple of the main mistakes I see people making when they're trying to create a teleseminar into an info product.
Yeah, that's a great tip, making lemonade out of lemons there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Great. So speaking of technology, I've got lots of folks here who are new to technology. So how tech-savvy do you need to be to do the teleseminars and creating the info products?
Well, the more technology you have in your background, the faster you will operate. But if you know too much, the slower you will operate. So what do I mean by that? Well, if you can do things yourself, you obviously don't have to wait around for other people to get back to you about, you know, turning things from a Word document into a PDF, for example, or taking an audio and downloading it and uploading it to a website and so forth. But if you do know too much and you don't rely on other people, you can get bogged down by having too many calls and never finish out producing them into the product that you could. And that's one of my curses that I have. I do know things too much. And so I have over 400 calls at this point, at least, I'm not sure how many exactly I've encountered recently, but at least a third of them are still kind of sitting on the shelf because I do know everything that there is to know about turning these things into products, which means that I rely too much on myself to do it. Okay, so there's a good balance to be met. So the first technology piece that you really need to feel comfortable with is the telephone itself. You know, can you pick up the phone? Can you have a conversation with people? It's very, very simple, and it may seem simplistic to say this, but that's really all you need to know how to do to run a teleseminar, okay? Once you then get the bridge line, and I'm saying this because, you know, you can have other people operate the bridge line for you, but the bridge lines nowadays, as you know, because we're using the same technology, it's so easy to just have this big fat button on your screen that you press record on, and you're ready to go, you know? There's a more complex dashboard that you can get into if you want to, but the bottom line is to record your call, there's a big button that you can just push. Now, to turn your products, your audio product into other products, there is some technical stuff that you might want to learn how to do, but the point is that there are other people that can do that for you. So if your time is better spent with your paying customers, with your paying clients, and you can afford, you know, $20 an hour, $30 an hour, to hire someone to transform stuff into other products for you, that's a pretty good balance. But at the end of the day, you don't have to take every audio you do and turn it into 50 products. You can simply take the audio recording and that's a product. You can take transcripts that you can get for 60, 80 bucks an hour, audio hour, and turn it into a PDF with no editing at all, and that can be a product. Okay, using Word, or Microsoft Word or OpenOffice to make edits to your text if you wish to, or to add a fancy cover page, or to make sure that links are clickable towards a web page. You know, those are things that I would hope that you'd learn how to do. But again, other people can do that for you if you wish. So don't get intimidated by technology to stop you from doing this type of channel, because at the end of the day, the biggest reason why I teach teleseminars and why I think it's the single fastest way and most profitable way to do internet marketing is because your knowledge is the critical piece. You speaking what you know is the critical piece. And when you can get that out, all the other elements can be done by other people or they can be done by you. It doesn't matter. But you speaking your knowledge and getting your voice out there is what is the key component to making this the profitable, effective marketing channel that it is.
Yeah, it really does put it within the reaches of anyone to do, you know, to get their work out into the world, to get their information, their expertise out there in bite-sized chunks. So we do have a question from Sue in Grand Junction, so I just wanted to take a moment. Because I know this is a question that gets asked a lot, especially from beginners. What's the best way to promote your teleseminars if you don't have many people on your list yet? And I'm sure she's considering that, you know, she could invite her friends and her family to listen in. But any ideas that you can share with us, Bob, on how folks can get people on their list for their teleseminars?
Sure. Obviously, the bigger your own list, the more you'll be able to have a repeat audience, okay, and that's going to be good. There's a couple pieces that I can share with you on this. One is you may want to make sure that your teleseminar is promoted in various places where people congregate in your field. So if you're a member of a membership forum and that's the topic that you teach on, then make sure that you have your signature line on your forum posts advertise your teleseminar. You can, of course, pay for advertising and so forth. I'm not a fan of that. So what I like to recommend people do is that they have some component of what they offer available for sale so that they can have an affiliate program and get partners to promote those calls for you. Another thing I want you to think about is there are channels like Blog Talk Radio, which are free social networks that deal simply with audio radio show type programs. So just like you and I are having this call, you can have this call on Blog Talk Radio, which has its own audience that sees, hey, there's a call coming up about a topic I'm interested in, and I can have an audience attracted that way. But at the end of the day, and actually let me tell you a third way. A third way, and this is a little bit more of an advanced strategy, but you can do it at the beginning as soon as possible, is you can give away your replay, your recording, as a bonus for other people's products. Initially, you may think, well, you know, I might not get much money from that, but really, if you're at that stage, you're going to get a lot of exposure. So remember I mentioned before you might want to interview someone who has a product in your field. You can hopefully get with that same person and say, you know what, one of the things I'd like for you to do with this call when we're done is I'd like for you to give it away as a bonus to the products that you have for sale so that you can get that extra exposure. Okay, so between you know, going where your audience is and attracting them that way, having an affiliate program attached to your calls so that you can reward people for spreading the word, and then having your call as a bonus download for other people. Those are three really key and very easy methods, I think, to getting more people to see your calls. The last piece I would say is once somebody signs up for your call, make it easy for them to spread the word. So encourage them to post on Twitter or to post on Facebook. Utilize those social networks to spread the word about your calls as well. But always let your audience and your customers be part of the growth of your business. That's another way that you'll find more attraction towards your calls.
Well, those are great tips. And you bring up a question. Just you mentioned Blog Talk Radio, and this is actually a question that I've heard from a number of folks. What would be the advantage of hosting a call, like let's say an interview, on Blog Talk Radio versus hosting it on your own Bridgeline?
Well, I do 98% or more of my calls on my own Bridgeline. I use Blog Talk Radio for about 6 months, and I kind of have abandoned it recently, but I always want to go back every now and then. The reason I do it on my own Bridgeline is because I do have an audience, and I do have that list, and I own the content completely, and I don't have to worry about any advertisements on the site. On my sites, whereas with Blog Talk Radio, they have an advertising program to pay for their service. That's why it's free for you, but they throw in advertisements at the beginning or in the middle or at the end of your call, both live and during the replays. But if your topic is something that people you know naturally gravitate towards, you can find an audience on Blog Talk Radio because, like I mentioned before, it's actually a social network, so you can have friends. You can tag your calls with certain keywords, and people can search that, and they can find your call more easily. So if you're just starting out, or you just want to tap into that that audience that's already existing, then once in a while you should do a call on Blog Talk Radio. But ultimately, just like you should have your own blog on your own website and not on just Squidoo or on WordPress.com or whatever, you want to be in charge. You want to be in control, so that nobody can take that stuff away from you. Nobody can cancel your account. Nobody can delete your stuff. That can still happen, of course, with technology. But the point is that you want to be in charge of that as much as possible. And at the end of the day, you want to be promoting your website, not blogtalkradio.com/BobTheTeacher or Conscious Business or whatever your tagline is. Mm-hmm. Just like you don't want to be promoting facebook.com/whatever your name is. You want to be essentially promoting or eventually promoting your own sites. So hosting your own calls instead of only doing it on something like Blog Talk Radio will be to your brand advantage over the long run.
Great, thanks. Yeah, for me, I wondered about that also, and you've pointed out some great reasons as to the distinctions of one over the other. How about some advanced strategies for folks who already have some products and have a platform, have a following? What are some things that you can recommend to folks who already, you know, are experienced, have some products, and could notch it up another level?
Yeah, I think one of the things people usually stop themselves short on is not realizing that because of the transition that they've made from, being someone who knows stuff to create products, you're now at that level where people want to have higher access to you. So one of the formats of teleseminars that I encourage people who are a little bit further along to take on is some form of group coaching. You know, this is one of the easier ways and most profitable ways to utilize teleseminars because it often comes natural to you, but it also presents a more intimate experience for your audience members. So, for example, you may have a teleseminar like you and I are doing where we're giving some information at a fairly basic to intermediate level, and just a handful of people are going to want to go further with that that same topic. And by giving that opportunity over to your audience and saying, you know what, I've got this ebook, I've got these three audio programs that I've released, but how about we spend the next 4 weeks on a series of calls where you ask me questions and I hold you accountable to taking action? That by itself is a great type of a mini coaching program, doesn't have a long-term commitment, but can be something that you can have as very profitable enterprise for yourself. Calls like that, depending on your field, you can charge anywhere from $100 for the month to $500 to $1,000. Sometimes I see calls like that up to $2,000 per person to spend a month, going through a weekly check-in, a weekly Q&A, a weekly challenge, weekly strategy session, just for that defined period of time with a very specific goal to be achieved during that period of time. Depending on what you're offering, will turn into whatever you're able to charge. But that's something that people who have confidence, they can be at the very beginning, but you just have to have confidence that what you have matters and that you can have even a small group of four or five people get on these calls with you and be active, be part of something bigger than what you're usually doing. So don't sell yourself short with the content and the information that you have. Give people the opportunity to work with you more closely and leverage your time with this kind of a small group atmosphere. I especially encourage you to do this if you're typically working with one-on-one. If you're, I know we have a lot of people on this call, I'm sure, Adela, who are coaches and who have worked one-on-one with people. And there's only so many hours in the day that you can work with one-on-one clients. So I'd like to encourage you to try groups of 8, 10, 15 people on a teleseminar instead of one-on-one and see if you can't maximize your profitability, reach more people, and really elevate your business to another level while giving more value to your audience.
Yeah, that's a wonderful tip. And that is one that sometimes folks wait on. And I just want you to just say a little bit about the group coaching, because sometimes people say, I'm not a coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you, first of all, you don't need to be certified. Okay,
right.
So you don't need to go to school for this. You don't need to go to some special training and get some little logo on your website. I've been coaching now for about 3 years, and I started my business a little over 4 years ago. And I just realized that some people wanted to know how to do what I was doing. They didn't just want to learn from what I was teaching, but they wanted me to teach them how to do what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So from a metacognitive level, you have to realize that at some point people will ask you that, and you can either take on that mantle or you can send them to me. I'll teach them how to do it. It doesn't matter. but the point is even within your own topic, you're dealing with a lot of holistic practitioners and so forth. You want them to market their business more effectively, and so you can have that kind of a coaching program. When you yourself, listening to this call, when you get to this point where you have a little bit more success, you will have other people like you who are going to come to you and say, well, how did you do that? And you can take on that mantle or you can reject it. That's up to you. And the other thing is you can do it even just from not a business to business, but a business to consumer. Someone who wants, more access to you but maybe can't afford your one-on-one coaching, maybe you cut your coaching rate in half, but you have 10 people in that program instead of just one-on-one. And you're going to get five times more money for yourself, which is nice for the profitability, but you're also going to help 10 times more people, which is great for the impact that you wish to have on your audience. So understand that you don't have to be a coach. You just have to be willing to answer people's questions or to predict the challenges that they're going to run into because you've been there and done that. And because you want to shortcut the process that they're going through, and you're actually, very qualified to do that, even if you don't have a piece of paper or some certification to say so.
Yeah, I just think it's really, thank you, Bob, for addressing that. I think it's a semantics thing sometimes, you know, whether you call it coaching or a strategy session. I think what you're pointing to is that people need to pick whatever term feels comfortable for them, but there's a need that their customers and their clients have, and either meet it or outsource them to someone that can meet it, and you can be an affiliate for them.
That's right.
That's another way to look at it. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you and I are friends with Scott Tuzanaw, right? He's
yeah.
a good friend of mine. And he used to be a fitness guy. He's still a fitness guy, obviously, but he used to be a gym owner, and then he was a personal trainer. And he still has a couple personal trainer clients. But he's able to have a group fitness program on the Internet where he shows people in a wider range through video. And he does teleseminars, too, about how to take care of your body, how to eat right, and all this other stuff. So he's not necessarily a coach from the standpoint of what we typically think about, but he is someone who knows what he's doing. He wants to help people get better at the things he's good at.
Yeah.
You know, so there's all kinds of examples of that happening. Just remember my main point here. The leverage you have and the expertise that you have can be well served both for you profitably and to reach more people in your audience if you try to go through a more, you know, group environment where you train people or you teach people what you know, but you open it up to a wider audience. And you just do it in a format that the teleseminar process can help you with so that, you know, you get the results you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm in Scott's program, so I know it's great stuff. And the ability to reach more people is really, especially folks who are on these calls, you've got a message, you've got a body of work, you want to get it out there to as many people as can benefit from it. So these are more ways in which you can leverage your time and maximize, you know, the amount of your work that's getting out there and the number of people that you can help. We've got another question here, and then I want you to talk to us a little bit about your teleseminar formula program. This is from Gina Diane, and her question is, can you give us an example of advertising your event in your signature line? I think she was talking about using the signature line.
Sure. Thanks for the question, Gina. There's a couple places where you have a signature line, okay? So in your emails that you send out, whether it's on Gmail, to your personal friends circle and so forth, you have a signature area that you can use. Or when you're posting on a membership form, whether it's like a Ning community or a membership form, like there's systems like vBulletin and whatever. We don't need to get into the technology behind it. But you often have a profile. And in your profile, there is a line for your signature. And so every post that you put up in a forum always has that thing at the bottom. And depending on the rules of the forum, you can either have a direct link that goes out, or you can have a link that goes, or just text that you know, might not be active, but at least tells people what your website address is. And the beauty of this in a forum is it's automatically put in place, so you just have to change the text. But if you're active in those forums and you wind up with, you know, 100, 200, 500, 1,000 posts, when you change your signature line every, you know, few weeks as you do a new call, every post you've ever written has that bottom area of your post changed automatically too. So you wind up having these very, you know, search engine friendly posts that are out there on the web that all of a sudden, you know, can be transformed into a promotional bulletin board back to your site. You also have a signature line essentially in any articles that you write and you submit to article directories like ezinearticles.com, where they have what's called an author resource box. That's a signature area too, in which at the bottom of an article you can say, and for more answers to these questions, yada, 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 go to this site. And that site could be where you promote your teleseminars or the particular program or product that you've created from your teleseminars that you've made. So I don't have a specific example, you know, of a direct link I can share with you, but if you go to ezinearticles.com and read any article, you'll see the very bottom of an article is a, you know, kind of an advertisement for someone else's website. If you go into a forum like, say, wham.com, W-A-H-M.com, and you take a look at any of the posts, you'll see at the very bottom of every person's individual post the same kind of information. Hey, for more of this stuff, come to the site. And again, those are just ways for you to leverage the traffic of places that you already visit. You're probably there because you're attracted to the same things that other people are attracted to. And when they see your post and your answers to questions in this area, they're going to see this line that invites them to come join you on a call or to, you know, download the audio or whatever it happens to be. So, but again, don't forget your personal email that you send out too that can have a signature line. You obviously, you know, sometimes treat your friends differently than you do your business contacts, but if you're really operating from an authentic standpoint, which I know you are, right, you're going to have the same approach basically to your business contacts as your friends because you live and breathe this service that you're giving to the world. So don't feel ashamed or kind of have that weird feeling about having in the bottom of your emails, hey, by the way, did you know I help people in this area? And, you know, here's a call coming up. Change it every now and then so that, you know, people have a fresh take on it. But utilize that space because it's already something that people are reading, and you can get good traffic from that.
Yeah, that's a great tip. And I would just add that depending on what you're doing, you may want to ask a question. That's sometimes what I've done, Bob, is ask a question in that SIG, and the answer is the link.
Yeah. Send them to a blog post that gets them to comment on that question, and you just keep on telling those folks in the comments, you know, these are awesome questions. And as you get, you know, five or six questions that you want to answer, pick up the phone, record a call, and put it up on your website. You know, nothing is better for your audience, no matter how big or small it is, than to actually answer questions that people have asked. You may wind up with way more questions than you can possibly answer, but even if you answer only a handful, the rest of the people are as excited about it as the person who asked, because they see that you are tuning in to what they're asking about and that you care. And ultimately, that's what you're trying to get after with this heart-centered business that you're running, is you have to demonstrate to people that you care, and then you have to deliver on what's going to be a good solution for them.
Yeah, and that speaks again to this relationship building, which has been the through line here and has been my experience of you, Bob, and any of your programs that I've signed up for. I was talking about it earlier on the call that I'd done so much of your free stuff that I was like, oh, my gosh, I gotta pay this guy something. So I joined your internet marketing membership community, and there's just, oh, my God, there's just so much great content. There's just so much great stuff that you're putting out there. And I know that this particular program, the Teleseminar Formula, is something really, really rich and very, it's pretty extensive, actually. So can you just tell us a little bit about it, Bob, before we sign off?
Yeah, sure. And I'm sure you have a link to share with everybody for that. Basically, what I want to do for people when it comes to teleseminars is I want to make it as easy and profitable as quickly as possible for you to move forward in your business. Because, again, I come from a teaching background. When I first started my business, I was still teaching 50 hours a week and, you know, grading papers and coaching the academic team and the tennis team and doing all kinds of stuff. And so I had a very short amount of time for me to embark on this product creation process. And so teleseminars were simply out of necessity the channel that I chose. And it turns out that it's the fastest way to go because of your ability to grow your business literally at the speed of sound. So what I decided to do after taking a few teleseminar training courses and seeing what was out there in the marketplace, I realized that there wasn't anybody really addressing the core needs of what people really needed to know. Those were they needed a fast approach, they needed to be held by the hand to understand the technology, and they needed a simple step-by-step process to go from starting from scratch to having a finished product and then leveraging that product in multiple ways. So I created the Teleseminar Formula initially as a 10-day program, not 10-week, not 10-month, but a 10-day program for people to get up and running and get going. Now, you're not going to master every little nuance of teleseminars in 10 days, but within literally 2 weeks from today, you could have your first call finished and profitable by going through this training. And then you spend the next, 2 weeks going through it again and taking another step that maybe you skipped over or you felt it wasn't necessary. So what I have for you at this in this training is two options, either an ebook version that you can read through and see screenshots and all that kind of cool stuff, or the full-blown version, which has the audio and the video to walk you through, you know, all the steps that you need. And it's really my hope that you understand that with teleseminars, you can do something in a way that you can't do in any other marketing channel. You can use your voice. You can create a product that's portable. No other form of product that you can create is as portable as a teleseminar. You can create something that can help people, whether they're listening while they're driving or doing laundry or doing other work on their computer. But you can also take the same time that you spend creating that call initially and have it turn into text, have it turn into articles and blog posts and emails and all these things you know you're supposed to do, but you never have time for. And teleseminars get it out faster and make it much more possible for you. And because the cost is so low, teleseminars become the most profitable pathway for you to promote your business. And then, again, I'll remind you that you're using your voice, which gets inside the head of your audience members, and they can start to really understand that you know what you're talking about, and they really bond with you in a way that you can't get in any other medium other than video. But video is another ball of wax, and it's a little bit more complicated. It's not as portable. So I want you to take advantage of the offer that I have for you at Teleseminar Formula, and I want you to really understand that this process is a really proven method that can get you from A to B and then to C and D and F, et cetera, in a way that you feel good about it, that resonates with your audience, that connects authentically between you and the people you want to impact, and really frees you up in the time to enjoy the rewards that your business will allow. One of the things we didn't talk about, Adela, during this call was that when you do teleseminars, you can do them from anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
As long as you have a phone, you can do them from anywhere. I've done them at other conferences. I've done them when I'm on vacation. But the better part of it is when you're on vacation, your information products that you've created are still generating business for you. So there's been a number of times back in the last 12 months where I've taken 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off, even I took 6 weeks off to Europe last summer, and I had more money when I returned than when I left because of information marketing and because of having internet marketing tactics and strategies based on teleseminars at play in my business. And I just don't know any other way to run a business as profitably as this with as low risk. I was talking to someone at the little local mailbox thing. You know, I don't have an official office, right? I have a P.O. box at a local business P.O. box type place. And the guy there was saying, you know, I'm going to get a loan from somebody for $50,000 to start a chain of something or other. I'm like, holy cats, are people still doing that? Are people still risking that much money to run a business so that they can make 50 grand extra a year when you can, you know, get a nice six-figure income from online marketing without that risk? It just blows me away. So I know I went off on a tangent a little bit, but the point is that the course I've put together for you is there. It's ready. It's instantly accessible, and it's really a clear pathway that's broken down step by step to make it as easy as possible and as profitable as it can be. And I encourage you to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and for those folks, if you're on the page, the speaker page, you'll see a link there for a teleseminar formula. If you're on the phone and you want to just go there directly, you can go to consciousbusinesstribe.com/teleseminar formula, and I will send the link in a follow-up email as usual. Bob's products, services, and one-on-one coaching get, you know, 5 thumbs up from me. He's extraordinary, and his expertise as a teacher shows through. It is just so easy to follow your videos and the pictures and everything, Bob. It's just so easy to do. So if you've never done teleseminars before and you want to get your feet wet and actually dive in and become profitable and have a business in a really quick time, Bob, the teacher Jenkins can definitely guide you there. Bob, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing so much of what you know about internet marketing and teleseminars and products. Thanks for being here.
You're very welcome. And I want to encourage you listening. You know, what we've just talked about in the last hour or so, it's not really going to mean a whole lot unless you take action and do something. And I do encourage you to take my training, but I encourage you more to get your teleseminars moving, you know, whether you're starting out or you've already been doing them, keep doing them on a routine basis, because you're going to get better at it, you're going to have more fun with it, and you're going to really impact more people's lives through it. And if I can be a part of that process, awesome. And I thank you for your time and allowing me to teach you today.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye.